Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the dirt sheet. We're doing it live today, Larson.
Yeah.
We got a lot to talk about today.
We do.
It's the only place right here, youtube.com/ Steven Larson, where you guys can get all your info. We got to check our audio now, Larson. Oh, wait, we can't do it for a couple more seconds. Anyways, hope you guys are doing good. How was your weekend, Larson?
I'm sick now, so.
What a drag. Hold on, I'm going to check audio. Oh, yeah, look at that. We got
audio.
Hooray. Woo! Yeah! Woo! Great.
Hooray.
Did you notice? I'm really excited about this. Did you see my new set? It's coming along over there. You guys can't see it now, but I've been working on my Going In Raw daily set. You excited about that? You guys get to see it tomorrow. Hope you guys are doing good. Anyways.
Did you paint both the bookshelves?
I painted that one, and then I needed to get more spray paint for the
other one. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. It looks kind of green.
Yeah, it is. It's like supposed to be fluorescent green.
Oh, we got one super chat already from Daniel McKellar. Nice. £2. Thank you.
All right. So today, on today's show, we're going to talk about the sexy star Rosemary is an incident from Triple Mania that everybody's talking about that happened over the weekend. We're also going to talk about, what does it say here? Oh, Asuka moving to Maine.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. If you guys don't want to hear about what happened on NXT, even though WWE had zero problems tweeting about it, putting it on their website.
All over the place.
Everybody was talking about it.
So I know.
You know, it's not really a spoiler. And we're also going to be talking about the New Day.
Yes.
And Vince McMahon's possible plans for them.
To be the best ever.
Yeah, even though his plans can change on a whim.
Yes.
But first, I want to mention that we are on the Patreon, patreon.com/ Steve and Larson, where we have like a bevy of reward tiers. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing our Raw recap, then Wednesday, our SmackDown, and then, of course, on Thursday, our NXT 205 Live. And we live stream them for those $5 and up patrons.
I also want to mention tomorrow we have the WGPW Super Show happening at 3:00 p.m.
right.
Pacific time, 24-karat stream.
Ooh.
World Golden Powers exclusive Super Show. Every belt will be defended.
Wow, huge.
And we'll find out
whether
Top-Notch Super Best will in fact battle Mecha Santa. We will find out tomorrow.
Where are you gonna find that? Where can people go for that?
Let's do it on YouTube.
On YouTube, really? Wow. I've gone all in on Twitch with WSteveW.
All right, fine. I'll do it on Twitch.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness gracious. Go to twitch.tv/ Steven Larson for your 24-karat stream. Yeah.
Marcus Daniels, $5. Says, I literally was just thinking about you guys, thought about this sexy star incident.
Yeah. Well,
let's use that as our segue to get right into
all right,
it.
Let's
why don't
talk
we?
About sexy star. Sexy star, make you humble, Rosemary. Okay, so this past weekend on Saturday, speaking of Twitch, it was available live
on
Twitch.
Yeah, Triple Mania was. That was pretty
Triple
cool.
Mania, that was rad. They had like a marathon beforehand
of
like past Triple Mania. So I'm not caught up on my AAA, although thanks to, are we going to talk about Kate? Sorry, there's a super chat here. We'll address our super chat. How about this? At the end of each segment, we're still figuring out this live stuff.
At the end
of each segment.
We'll go to Super Chat. So if you have questions about...
Hey, feel free to give us money.
If you have questions about the sexy star thing, either put them in now, get them ready, because when we're done, we'll take some questions.
Exactly.
Yes.
So because like the thing is, if we stop our conversations every time we get a Super Chat...
We're going to be lost.
Assuming we just get flooded with money.
We're just going to get lost.
It just make the show crap.
Especially I'm sick. I'm not feeling top notch.
It'll also give me some time to look up who this Casey Catanzaro is. I don't know.
I think she was one of the competitors in the Mae Young Classic.
Okay. Right on.
I saw a thing this morning. They signed some. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay. All right. So let's get back to this thing.
Yeah.
Triple Mania. So the only reason why I know anything about AAA wrestling is because of GFW, because they have a relationship with AAA. And so guys like Drago were at Triple Mania. And so I had it on in the background while I was cleaning up my office. How do you like my office? It's all clean now. I moved some stuff.
Yeah, no.
Anyways, I had it on in the background. And it's so to a newcomer, so I'm still learning about New Japan. Man, AAA, they have a massive roster.
Yeah.
And a lot of the characters, here's the thing that I liked about it from like purely an outside observer. I am not versed at all. I was like, Psycho Clown, what's that? Dr. Wagner, what is he, a dentist? What's that? What's that gimmick all about? What's that? What's going on there? And the guy's like 50 years old. He's a legend, evidently.
Yeah.
Or was the son of Dr. I don't know what it is.
It was Dr. Wagner Jr. Jr. Yeah.
Exactly. But I put it on because it's a thing. And, you know, Jeff Jarrett showed up.
Yeah.
I actually, to be honest, though, that was kind of cool. And so I was watching, you know, so it was in the background. And I had heard, so I watched it yesterday. It actually took place on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I had heard about Rosemary having her elbow popped out.
Yeah.
Right? It was like dislocated or something like that.
So it was during the, was this Reyna de Reynas?
Okay.
Match.
Okay.
Which saw Rosemary take on Lady Shani or Shani.
Shani?
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Hayako Hamada and the champion, Sexy Star. And according to Pro Wrestling Insider, during
good
the match...
Good job on the pronunciation of... what did you just say?
Hayako Hamada.
Oh, good job.
Lady Shani or Shani and Sexy Star were legit shooting at each other. Like they were fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the finish of the match saw Sexy Star put Rosemary in an arm bar and dislocated her arm.
Yeah.
Or so they thought. Yeah. Early word was that Rosemary's condition was minor, like her injury wasn't significant. But then Pro Wrestling Insider reported yesterday... that there was some, quote, discoloration and swelling around her elbow, and that could possibly indicate a tricep tear.
Yeah.
Which would be bad. A pretty significant injury.
Yeah, not good.
Also, according to Pro Wrestling Insider, Vampiro brought Sexy Star to Rosemary in the locker room to apologize before Sexy Star left the arena, because apparently Lady Shani was not happy about shoot nature of their match and was looking to continue the shoot nature of their match in the locker room.
Yeah. And so before we get to the reactions from... So immediately people were like, wait a second, was this a shoot or was this a work? Was this real or was this fake? Evidently all signs are pointing to this was a shoot. This was her, as they say, going into business for herself. Before we get to the reaction from the
wrestling community,
We'll go to... So Rosemary waited about a day to post her response to this. Everybody was eagerly awaiting that. And she said the following on Twitter.
It's long. You have to read the whole thing. It's lengthy.
Well, I'll read it. It's only three...
It's four.
Four note pages. Well, it's three. It's like three and a half.
Let's do excerpts.
Hey, look, man, this is a podcast.
All right, fine.
Known for length. Well, this isn't daily. She says, let me make this perfectly clear. If you take liberties with someone's body when they are giving it to you and trusting you to keep them safe, you are not tough. You're an asshole. And you don't belong in this business. Sexy Star decided to do just that this weekend at Triple Mania. And while I have remained quiet on social media until I was more calm to address the situation, I have now been informed that she is telling people that it is a work. You are all now being informed that Sexy Star is a liar. She was a liar in the locker room when she was forced to apologize and instead cooked up some bullshit excuse that she, quote, didn't know, and she is a liar now. You know if you are torquing on someone's arm. You know an armbar is a real and dangerous hold. The only reason your face is not broken right now is because a little voice inside my head as I lay on the apron kept repeating, don't go to Mexican prison. Thanks, demon. However, turning to positives, the outreach from the wrestling community has been incredible. I'm overwhelmed with how much love I feel right now from friends, fans, and people I have yet to meet in this amazing business. We are family and we protect our own. If you violate that, you are not welcome here. I also want to thank the AAA locker room. Multiple people came up to me saying how sorry and disgusted they were. Thank you, Hamada and Shani, who also had to deal with bullshit from Star during that match. Thank you, Vampiro, for professionally trying to calm a volatile situation, though, as you know, once the excuses started pouring out of Sexy Star... Sexy Star's mouth in lieu of an apology, it was over. Finally, thank you to the amazing GFW locker room, both present that night and not. I have so much support from everyone, and talent, crew, and office have all reached out to show me that. So here's the thing. So on our channel, we've been, or I have been doing GFW reviews.
Yes.
And our position on TNA GFW has always been the same. We really, really want those wrestlers to succeed.
Yes.
And that's why we want TNA GFW to succeed, even though their business practices at the top level have, you know, traditionally been kind of on the shady side.
Yes.
Not paying their ref or the, not paying their wrestlers, not paying production, et cetera, et cetera. There's been a litany of that stuff. So, but we want the wrestlers to do good. And that's why I watch the show, is because I want to check out the wrestling and the wrestlers that they're bringing in.
Yeah.
And I really like Rosemary. I think
she's
great.
And to be honest, you know, we joke around a lot about GFW. And the only reason I don't watch it is because literally I have to edit a show Thursday night when it's on.
Yeah.
If it weren't for that, I would probably watch it most weeks.
Because here's the thing. It is a fascinating, it's fascinating to understand that TNA has been around for 15 years now.
I know. That's surprising to hear.
They've seemingly been teetering on collapse.
At least the last 10 years.
Many times. And so it is fascinating to watch a company, now they seemingly have their business orders getting into place, you know, turning a positive corner. I'd like to see them and what steps they're taking to, you know, get back to prominence, get back to a good spot. Because for a while, they were in a pretty decent spot when they were bringing up guys like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe.
Yep.
Seems like when they brought in Hogan seemed to be when, you know,
things
they were making some bad
going
decisions.
Downhill. Hogan and Russo.
Yeah. In any event, this isn't number one. This is an absolute bummer.
Yeah.
Especially for, obviously, for Rosemary, who, you know, hopefully this isn't actually a tear. Hopefully this is.
I know. Hopefully the initial thoughts that this was a relatively minor injury turn out to be the case.
Yeah.
Going back to the reaction from the wrestling world, the wrestling community, it was swift and it was unanimous in the condemning Sexy Star's actions. Sammy Callahan. Steve's doorbell just rang.
Let's see if my dog says anything.
There she goes.
She's not getting up.
Well, this means she's going to just sit where she is and just bark. What to do, Steve?
Just keep on going.
Okay.
Keep on going. Here, tell you what. You read some reactions.
There you go.
Take care of business.
There you go.
This is live.
Yep.
I'll do it live.
So Sammy Callahan wrote a pretty long post in which he states, quote, "After seeing what happened to Rosemary last night at AAA, I'm outraged. Our generation needs to band together and end shit like this once and for all." Cody Rhodes said, quote, "Sexy Star will never set foot in one of my locker rooms. I hope others follow suit." Joey Ryan said, quote, "Whether it's dick flips or submissions, we constantly put our health in each other's hands. If you violate that trust, you're not one of us." Eve Women Wrestling said, quote, "Dear fellow wrestling promoters, do you value the safety of your talent? Then now is the time to cancel Sexy Star bookings from your show." And WrestleCade appears to be the first promotion to do just that. They've canceled the Sexy Star booking that was set to happen in November at one of their events, and they issued a statement on Twitter in which they said, quote, "There is no place for this in professional wrestling. Therefore, we have made a decision not to bring Sexy Star to WrestleCade weekend." So it seemingly is pretty obvious that wrestlers, promotions, kind of across the board, thinks it sucks. What Sexy Star did sucked, that she went into business for herself and put the health and safety of her opponent at risk for the sake of doing something. I'm not sure what her end game was. So if you guys have questions, we can get to them now while Steve is apparently handling a delivery. Mr. Michael Law, 2011, says $2. "Will you talk about Casey Catanzaro signing with WWE?" We're going to talk about the Mae Young Classic kind of in general later on the show. I gotta scroll down. Sorry. Trey Sammons, $2. "Just want to say hi, guys." Hello, Trey. Emilio Hernandez, $5. "Worst part is AAA probably won't do anything to punish her." They kind of did a screw job on Taya when Sexy Star returned to put the belt on her. So they seem to really like Sexy Star as their champ. So who knows? Ali Wansa, $5 Canadian. So is WWE out of the equation for Sexy Star for the time being? Yes.
Yeah, screw her.
Yeah, delivery.
Sorry about that.
Delivery.
I thought it was
I feel so bad. I was just a jerk. I opened up the door and I said, I can't right now. I'm working. And I closed the door on him. And then he rang the doorbell and he said, I'm trying to deliver something. I was like, oh man, I feel like a jerk right now. Oops. Oh, man. On Steve be a jerk and the gypsies barking. And then my sister had some crap shipped to my door, like just a bunch of it.
Wow. I
swear, man. What the heck? She has a house of her own now.
I'll tell you, Steve.
Anyway, what were we talking about? The reaction?
I went through all the reaction, the quotes from Twitter. Went through all that already.
Yeah.
Went through WrestleCage's post about how they're canceling Sexy Stars booking at their event in November. I was going to Super Chat.
Oh, yeah.
Already on the Super Chat. Tim Burton, 5 pounds. Says, I like what the Iron Sheik had to say.
I make you humble. What did Iron Sheik have to say? You go to the next Super Chat. I'm going to take a look at Iron
No, that
Sheik.
Was the last Super Chat.
Oh. Man, I was going
to
So
it'll be interesting to see how things play out. Emilio Hernandez said that he doesn't suspect that AAA will punish Sexy Star in any way.
Oh, this is what Iron Sheik said. Vern, tell me to break the Hogan leg, bring the belt to Minnesota. I never cross the business or the worker. Sexy Star, you big time jabroni. his Monday motivation tweet this morning was, don't be a effing jabroni.
It's funny, that's like the one curse word you haven't said of all the things we've been reading.
Here's the thing, dude. This is going to be demonetized.
I know.
like we have the word sex in the title as demonetized.
I know.
You know. Here we go. To complete the demonetization, the Iron Sheik here says, and the winner is go fuck yourself. Hashtag VMAs.
Alto Voltaje. Voltaje, sorry. $2. Did you hear Moro call the Mayweather fight? You did.
I did. I watched the Mayweather fight. We can talk about that for a second. That ain't wrestling.
I mean, it happened the same day as
Triple Mania. It happened the same day, yeah. More of a fight than I thought it was going to be. I explained this to you before we went on air. I figured that, you know, given that somebody, that Conor McGregor has had zero boxing experience, that Mayweather could just go in there and, you know, go at him like the dude's like a 12-year-old. But Conor, I kind of feel that Mayweather had the opportunity, and maybe he just like wanted to stick to the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like Mayweather took it easy on him for the first couple rounds. And I know he's like stepping back and letting him tire himself out and analyzing. That's what he said.
Yeah.
You know, he says that I understand that Conor, you know, he's used to wrestling 25-minute matches, not, you know, going to 10 rounds
in
boxing.
The first time he went that long against Nate Diaz, he was gassed out.
Oh, I know.
After,
exactly.
What, 3 rounds?
Yeah. Yeah. So. I get the feeling that Mayweather was like, you know, these people paid a bunch of money. I'm not going to just knock the guy out in 10 seconds. But I could be wrong about that. Anyways. Yeah, no, it's cool hearing Morrow do that.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed out I didn't get a chance to watch it and hear his commentary.
Yeah.
Moving on. Will the New Day be the best tag team ever?
Wait, did you already do the Asuka story too while I was gone?
No, that's the last story.
Wow. Interesting.
So, according to the Wrestling Observer, the reason the New Day dropped the SmackDown tag team titles to the Usos at SummerSlam, I guess in kind of surprising fashion, is because Vince wants them to set a new record for tag title reigns, establishing them as the greatest tag team in history. Now, currently, the Dudleys hold the record with 9 title reigns.
You know...
And the New Day right now have 3.
I think... This kind of
here's the thing about this. It a lot of it depends on
there's
Vince's
some good and bad here.
Time frame. If he wants this to happen within the next year, that's a bit much.
Yeah, a little bit. Huh?
But say over the span of the next 3 years,
yeah,
I can see it happening. Here's the thing. I don't think necessarily it's how many title reigns they have.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's the feuds they're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they're involved in 3 feuds and they win the belts and drop them twice with each feud and set the record that way, that's going to be kind of lame.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But if they're in like some serious protracted feuds where the belts change hand, it feels organic and it helps everybody involved.
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty awesome.
Okay, well, let's
Hold on. For example, they win them back from the Usos at Hell in a Cell in October. Have another feud in between after WrestleMania and Sanity gets called up.
Mm-hmm.
Have Sanity and New Day feud for the rest of 2018.
Yeah.
And have them trade the titles a couple times. Yeah. That would be really cool because not only are you having New Day go up against a foe that's legitimate and potentially dominant, having them overcome that.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're bringing Sanity up to the main roster and establishing them as a force right away.
Yeah.
I think that's great. But just to have them go into two or three feuds and just change the, or trade the belts a couple times, I don't know. It doesn't really seem to do much.
Okay, well,
other just to pad their reign.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to look at. The Dudley Boys currently have the record. I'm going to take a look and see at what point, because I don't remember if they were traded a lot. I mean, you had three really hot teams during their peak.
Yeah.
The Hardys, Edge and Christian, and of course, the Dudley Boys. And so they were in the WWE originally from 99 to 2005. So that's a six-year window they had to set that record. That's a fairly big window right there.
Yeah.
And if the New Day, like you said, if they do it within a span of like...
Two or three years,
I think would be great. Then, yeah, absolutely. I'm totally fine with it. So it looks like the Dudley Boys won them less than a year after they came in. So they came in February 2000. Their reign was a month.
Yeah.
Then they won them again, which is fine. But it's like they won them again.
But
like
as you said, there was a lot of really, really, really good
43-day reign.
A lot of really good tag teams then.
20.
And apart from, on SmackDown, apart from the New Day 15. And the Usos.
Yeah. Because you had guys, you had APA at the time. You had Benoit and Jericho. You had the two-man power trip. Booker T and Test apparently were a tag team at one point. Spike Dudley and Test. So they had 6 years of longevity there.
Yeah.
So that's, that's pretty impressive. I don't know. And then you get into the debate about, what's more important, the number of days or how long your reign is versus number of reigns.
I mean, they already hold the record for the longest reign in WWE as far as tag champions.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't necessarily think it's accolades like that strictly determine the greatest tag team ever.
Right.
I mean, if I ask you, what is the greatest, in your estimation, who are the greatest, what is the greatest tag team of all time?
Oh, man, I don't know.
But what is your primary criteria? Number of belts won? Impact on the industry?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. It's impact on the industry. I mean, to me, it would be up there with, I would say probably the Road Warriors, them or the Steiners. What would you say? I mean, you can maybe toss like it. It's okay. I would put all these guys up there. I would put the Dudleys, Edge and Christian and the Hardys. They would all be in the conversation.
In the mix, yeah.
Road Warriors would be in the conversation.
Yeah.
The Steiners, Harlem Heat would be in the conversation. Doom would be in the conversation. So there's a lot to sort of choose from.
I know.
And, I don't know what, the reigns, the number of reigns were, but I think impact on the industry, for me, I'd probably be hesitant not to say the Road Warriors. What would you say?
Yeah, they'd have to be in the conversation
right,
for sure.
Yeah. The Outsiders.
Yeah. I mean, it's NWO.
No, not really.
No, not really. In terms
New Age Outlaws, good case can be made for the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah. I think in terms of impact, New Day, at least in...
Oh, in the modern age, for sure.
Yeah, the impact they've made on the main roster. They are one of the most popular acts going right now.
I know. It's on a very short, like in the top three at least,
Yeah.
No, I know. And so, I think, in the modern day right now, here's my thing. This is what I like about this idea, is that it means they're not going to break them up anytime soon.
Yes.
And I think that while they're hot, keep them hot. It's not a situation like the Shield, where you have three guys who so obviously can do huge things as singles competitors.
Yeah.
We all have faith in the New Day as singles competitors, but we've also seen the New Day as singles competitors, and we've seen what they can do together, and there's just zero reason to break them up anytime soon.
Yeah.
So it's kind of good. I like the idea that that there's no plan to break them up anytime soon. So in that respect, I think it's great.
Say they are together at least another 3 years to break this record, get 10 tag title reigns. They would be a team for about 6 years.
We have some great, by the way, here in chat. We've got some great candidates for best tag teams.
So a 6 year span of which of time during which they were 10 times champions.
Mm-hmm.
Made a tremendous impact on the on the industry.
How many times have they been champions at this point?
Three.
They've been three.
The last win was their third.
And then one of them was like the longest reign ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think them having the record for the longest reign ever is almost just as important as them breaking the record for most reigns in total, because that means for a year and a half they were the most dominant tag team.
Oh, I actually
in the company.
No, I actually personally I prize that over number of reigns. Mm-hmm. You know, the amount of time. What were the, how long are they? 480
something days.
Jeez, no, that is absolutely special. That's great. But then you look, you know, I mean, we know it because you know the reign that they broke for all time was Demolition, mm-hmm. right? But then before that, it was Kendrick and London, mm-hmm. which isn't exactly you wouldn't consider them as one of the greatest tag teams of all time because they didn't really have. I mean, I guess like you know, you can say that they, you know, I'm a big fan of both those guys.
Yeah.
But it's not like they were sort of around in a time when it was, you know,
yeah.
Who really cares? I think they were like the SmackDown tag champions.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, so who cares? I like those guys, though.
No, I do, too. I think they're both very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. But, no, I understand your point. And I kind of worry, like, right now, the SmackDown tag division is thin. It's the New Day, it's the Usos, and not really anybody else.
Fashion Police, although they have not really... It's like the Fashion Police are more of like a comedy skit act.
Yeah.
As opposed to even a comedy wrestling act.
So they're going to need an influx of talent on the SmackDown. If this is their idea, is to have the New Day start winning the belts and then losing them.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, hopefully this is something that is a plan that's thought out for the long term. And I know.
I hope so.
I can't even say that without really smiling.
I hope so. But I know Vince is involved, and I know that's not the case.
Oh, it's not the case. They're going to be the greatest tag team of all time. Break them up. So. Yeah, I think it's great if it's the case.
Yes. Oh, I think it'd be spectacular if they can take the time to do it right,
mm-hmm.
and then I think it would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Just and, they have to do it right.
And even like another, you know, if like 2 years from now they bring them back over to Raw, have a couple of
that'll have to happen.
Over there.
Yeah.
Then I mean they're like I said, they're already the most impactful tag team of the modern day.
Oh yeah, easily.
Going back to going back to that Attitude Era, you know.
Probably.
I mean, I don't really rate anybody in the like the Kendrick and London era. I don't really rate anybody, you know.
It's
like
who
was really around there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some super chats. We got some more super chats.
Yes.
Emilio Hernandez says, thoughts on Suzuki versus Cody at Death Before Dishonor.
Oh, I can't wait. That's gonna be great.
That's gonna be really interesting.
I know.
See how Cody Rhodes is able to hold up against the old bastard Suzuki.
I know.
It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to that.
Dami Ray, better Mayweather fight, Big Show or McGregor? Going into the fight, I would have said Big Show.
Well.
But after it, I say McGregor. I was actually pleasantly surprised.
Leslie Haynes, $5. Did WWE book Cena to bury Corbin on purpose or accidental? Oh, there was no accident about that.
There wasn't any accident about
no.
that. Yeah, watch our daily show from Friday, this past Friday. Talk about all that. Tim
Burton.
Oh,
this is a good question.
How about the New Day freebirding a singles title?
I think that'd be great.
People have brought that up before. I love that idea.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's fantastic. I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's way too many singles competitors.
I know, but after they break...
actually need that?
Think about it. If they really want to separate the New Day from every other tag team in history,
mm-hmm.
have them have the longest reign... have them be at least in the conversation for most reigns, mm-hmm. and then have them as a group defend a singles title.
Nobody's ever done that. Yeah,
that's really a way to elevate them to another level.
Yeah, I like that, man.
I would say more so than just having them beat the Dudley's record. Have them defend as a group a singles title.
Yeah,
that's something unique. Do we have more super chat?
We have one more from Mr. Michael Law. Would y'all make a new fantasy booking show on the channel? I've only done one episode on my channel, youtube.com/MSSteve here. Steve Books Raw. But I've only done one episode because I literally have no more time on my hands.
I know.
All time.
Time is
and then this Friday. It's funny because Friday used to be kind of the take it easy day.
Yeah.
Now it's the sit down at my desk and do a bunch of stuff day.
So you have your weekend free.
This Friday, I'm going, and even on the weekends. But you know me, I just like to work.
Yeah, you like to do things.
This Friday.
Oh, you're going on vacation this weekend.
I'm going to LA this weekend, starting on Friday. So I don't know what I'm going to do. GFW review in the air? Nah, I'll do it Thursday night.
Oh, you're flying?
Wait, what? No, in the air. I mean, in the air as in, am I going to do it?
Oh.
Status in the air?
I thought you were going to actually do it on the plane.
No, I'll do it while I'm driving.
Okay, there you go. Good idea. While you're driving.
Yeah. I know Lacey's coming with me. She's not going to drive. I'm going to drive while I'm working.
Perfectly safe.
That's a good idea. All right, let's talk about Asuka. So, anybody who doesn't want spoilers about Asuka,
stop watching now.
Probably kind of too late, but we're going to talk about her and the title.
And the future of herself and the NXT Women's Championship.
Oh, one last thing, one last super chat from Emilio Hernandez. Thoughts on the Young Bucks getting a cease and desist from WWE for Suck It? Did that actually happen?
I hadn't heard that.
It might have been in their latest Being the Elite.
Oh.
But I never know if that's jokey jokes or not.
Yeah.
Because like in the last episode, Cody opened up a letter as a cease and desist. But I don't know if that's true or not.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that's just part of their jokey jokes.
Or yeah, it could be.
If that's real. It'd be weird if it was real.
Yeah, of all the things.
Like, we really want the Young Bucks, but we're going to give them a cease and desist. I don't think they own... The WWE can't trademark Suck It.
They might be able to. Because it was very... I don't know trademark law that well. But I'm saying because it was so tied to one particular group that was in WWE. They might have a case. I don't know.
Do you know if our buddy Grimm has trademarked Eat It Yeah?
I don't know.
My favorite thing is when you bust out that randomly. We'll just be sitting here. And he'll just say, eat it, yeah.
He snorted. That's
I did.
Let's get back to Asuka. So again, spoiler alert. Asuka. If you don't want any spoilers for NXT television that's happening, I want to say in like 3 or 4 weeks, then stop watching.
Yeah.
So during the last round of NXT TV tapings, which happened last Thursday, after we'd already shot all our news for the week,
Asuka
dealing with an injury... Yeah. Though I don't know if that necessarily played into the decision.
From what I understand, they didn't say that on air.
Yeah, that's what I understand too. She vacated the NXT Women's Championship, ending her reign at over 500 days.
Ooh.
During the segment where she vacated the title, William Regal mentioned that they were undergoing negotiations with both Raw and SmackDown. And the recent rumors, I think Pro Wrestling Sheet has reported this, suggested that Asuka will be on her way to Raw, possibly debuting at the TLC pay-per-view on October 22nd, which would fit into her 6 to 8 week recovery time for her fractured right collarbone.
Mm-hmm.
As for the NXT Women's Championship, Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio mentioned that there is talks backstage about naming the winner of the Mae Young Classic as the new NXT Women's Champion.
No. The winner, this is how it should be. The winner of the Mae Young Classic should be a number one contender. Over on NXT have their own tournament for their own number one contender. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be, what is the field in Mae Young? 32?
Yeah.
Okay. 32 versus eight people over on NXT?
Eight.
And a bunch of like Sarah Logan, she's in the Mae Young Classic. So some of the people in NXT are already doing it. So even like a six-person tournament to determine a number one contender over on NXT. Yeah, I saw that. We'll read that after. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You get your two number one contenders because what? Then why would the NXT women not have been in the Mae Young Classic?
Well,
it's their
were.
Title. They've been around. They paid their dues. Some were, but like the newer ones.
Yeah.
Like the Iconic Duo weren't in there.
No, neither was Ember Moon.
Sonya Deville, I don't think, was.
No.
She wasn't. Ember Moon. Give me a break. Are you kidding me? She should be number one contender.
Yeah.
That's how they should do it.
No, I agree.
We got all sorts of tweets about this when it went down.
Yeah.
Some people were into it. Some people were not in terms of the idea of her vacating her title. Number one, let's speculate. Do you think this was because of her injury?
It's hard to sit here and say conclusively one way or the other, obviously, but given the timing, I wouldn't be surprised if it played into it somehow.
Yeah, I what you said there, I think exactly mirrors what I'm thinking. I think they were always going to have her vacate it or just show up on main with it.
Yeah.
But I think the injury aspect of things
maybe hasten that storyline.
Or led them to execute it in the manner that they did.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe, I don't think they were ever going to have her drop that title. I don't think that was going to happen. And a lot of people were, there was some criticism about this saying, this buries the rest of the NXT women's division because nobody could beat her. I don't agree with that at all. I think that there was nobody else. If you think about it, they called up a bunch of people. I mean, who have they called up from NXT without winning that NXT women's championship? On top of my head is Carmella.
Yeah.
And then has there been
Alexa Bliss never won it.
Alexa Bliss had never won, and they called
She's, I think, the only one to win both Raw and SmackDown Women's titles so far.
Exactly. So in those situations, you brought up two competitors who had the longevity to perhaps be the ones. And now I'm not sure that Carmella or Alexa Bliss ever would have been booked over Asuka. I don't really see that as happening. But there hasn't been anybody in the division.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like in the Authors of Pain before they just sort of shoehorned Sanity into the equation. I mean, Sanity made sense because they had strength in numbers. That's the only reason why they won, according to the booking. It was the only reason that it made sense for them to win. But there was nobody else. I mean, you know, Shinsuke had Bobby Roode, who was a legit contender.
I mean, Ember Moon was the most, if they were going to have anybody beat her, Ember Moon was the most logical choice.
Yeah, exactly. And
they still didn't do it.
They had two ways that could have gone. They could have had Ember Moon take it or not. And they went with the route that would make Asuka, who's already proven to be a huge commodity.
Yes.
You know, they kept her legend alive.
Yep.
And I think that's fantastic. I think that's great. Nobody, and maybe things would have been different had Ember Moon not been injured. And if they had, I also think if they had tweaked her character, the development of her character a bit more, because I think that I honestly think they've dropped the ball on that a couple times. I honestly think that it hasn't been for a lack of trying with Ember Moon. They just inadvertently have failed. And it's not a thing because they get it right so many times in NXT.
I know.
I just think with her, they were kind of confused. It's like, okay, we mentioned this before on the NXT.
Yeah.
On the takeover thing, I think they had, okay, originally she was going to be this person with mystique.
Well, it seemed like. I mean, that was the impression we got just based on how she was presented in terms of her packaging, in terms of her overall gimmick. But that was before she ever said a word, though.
Right, exactly. Her introduction was this, you know, she was like, It was so, I love when they do that stuff. Like at the Full Sail University there, she's like running around the campus. She's like outside. And I just imagine like people with backpacks, like, is that a cosplayer
or
something?
I know.
So weird. And then, you know, the first time I remember her like really sort of talking was when she was on the pre-show for one of the takeovers, I think. And she was on the panel and she was just talking like, and then at that point it's like, well, wow, she's got some charm. She kind of has a girl next door quality to her. And yet we're presenting her as this like werewolf person.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what do you do in that situation? How do you book that character at that point?
They try to do both.
Yeah, they tried it. And you can't like there's.
Well, there is a way you can do it, but they never did it, which is when she's
the Demon Balor thing.
Kind of. Yeah. Where she can flip a switch. And when she's ready to compete, she becomes this other person,
the Hulk almost,
you know? But when she's not wrestling, and then she is the down to earth, relatable Ember Moon.
Yeah, but they try to have it both ways
without making that distinction.
Exactly.
If they had just made that distinction, it would have made a lot more sense.
Right. Yeah. Milk Queen says it was on the San Antonio pre-show.
And
so. I think that with some because she has everything in the ring.
Oh yeah.
And on top of that, it's like not just that. But then how they rolled out the storyline of the Eclipse being this devastating finisher. You heard about it. What happened in the Performance Center?
Yeah,
stuff like
got
that.
Sent to the hospital and
it
stuff.
Just, and then they did that one time with Billie Kay when it was like, whoa, did she actually mess her up? And then it just became kind of confusing. It's like, wait, was that a shoot? Was that real? Like, would she actually get messed up from that? But no, it turned out to be a worry. It was just, you know, she was just selling really well.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be the start of like a storyline of the Eclipse. But then they just sort of fumbled that.
Well, it was a storyline up to Asuka and Ember Moon's match in Orlando where Asuka had to cut corners.
Yeah,
to
right.
From eating an Eclipse during that match. But then after that, they dropped it completely.
They dropped it completely. And Asuka kicked out of one.
I know.
At her last one, which I thought was a shocking moment.
It really was.
And it was a really shocking moment. And I'm sorry, but that to me, you know, you go with what you totally know is going to work. And Asuka did this title reign almost perfectly, and that's what worked. You know, they have her going to main with this incredible streak, and I think they did it the right way. Because here's the thing, there's Asuka. I don't think it buries the rest of the roster because there's Asuka and there's everybody else, and everybody else is pretty much on the same level. I mean, you have Ember Moon up there; she's sort of the alpha.
Yeah,
she's the top. But then everybody else isn't that far behind her. Asuka is in a league of her own, and they've established that by referencing Goldberg.
Yeah.
You know, by referencing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I personally think they did it right. I understand the point of view out there saying that, you know, she buried the rest of the NXT women's roster. I don't believe it.
No, I don't think so either, because every match, every title match people have had against her, they all put in really good showings. It's not like they were squash matches. Nikki Cross had a great last woman standing match.
Correct.
Against Asuka.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Ember Moon's two matches against Asuka at the TakeOvers were both really good.
Yeah.
Everybody's had really good showings.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the end, just couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Wait, was Nikki Cross and Asuka, that wasn't the last woman standing. Was it just False Count Anywhere? I don't remember.
I think it was the False Count Anywhere.
Okay. Whatever, that match was good.
It was the last woman standing.
I can't remember the exact stipulation.
Yeah, I
remember the finish, but I don't remember the ref counted 10 until Asuka's the last one get up. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Anyways, good match. Check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's take some super chats or some questions. Emilio Hernandez, $2. He said, I guess referring to the Young Bucks, they had to take their shirts down.
That's a bad move. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Okay.
That's a bad move on the WWE's part.
Yeah.
That's a really bad move. Because you have a real good chance at signing these guys in like 2 years. You know what I mean?
Also, they keep that phrase relevant.
Yeah, I know.
Allowing you to potentially sell more DX shirts.
I know. That's ridiculous. Here's the thing. Okay, so the Young Bucks have how many shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees?
100.
A ton. A lot. And there's like a new one every week.
And they have their own merch store too.
Right, exactly.
That sells some designs that aren't on their Pro Wrestling Tees shop.
I would kind of understand if it was a Hot Topic thing. If it was part of the Hot Topic deal.
Could be.
I could kind of understand that. It's like, hey, Hot Topic, we have a deal with you about the deal. But still, the money that you could potentially make signing the Young Bucks down the line is huge compared to, I would think, and this is all comparatively speaking, I'm sure those, you know, if they have shirts out there that say suck it on it, like for you and I, it'd be huge money.
Yeah.
For them, compared to the fact that they have a ton of shirts that don't have that phrase on it, it's probably, you know, a drop in the bucket.
Yep.
It's certainly compared to the WWE's revenue.
You'd think so.
It's a drop in the bucket.
You'd think so.
So why you would want to sort of turn them off to your company.
Yeah.
When you know you can make a ton of money off them in a couple of years if they decide to sign. Because I would think they would. I honestly think that they would. Like, I don't see them going like the path of the Briscoes. Like, in terms of, you know, the Briscoes, I love the Briscoes. But you sort of sit here and think, well, what more can they really do there in Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The Young Bucks, who was it? Wasn't AJ? Or?
Yeah, I just said he's thought in the next 5 years that they'd be signed to WWE.
Right. And he was trying to convince them to come along.
Yep. Back when he signed.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know.
It's kind of confusing. I don't get it.
Why are you poisoning that particular well? You know?
I don't know. Mr. Michael Law, 2011. So is that a maybe? I don't know what he's referring to. What was his last question?
Because he asked if we're going to do a fantasy book.
Oh,
there are no plans currently to do a fantasy
book. Gotcha. Thanks for remembering that.
However, I've got Steve
Raw. Our fantasy booking shows are WGPW and W Steve W.
Exactly. And Steve Books book. Raw.
Yeah, sure. Also, he says, quick book heel Bailey.
You know who my tag champions are in Steve Books Raw?
The Revival.
It's the Enforcers.
Oh, that's good.
I don't really stick to the current roster.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm about to form the Bullet Club, too.
Quick book. Heel Bailey.
Book a heel Bailey?
She'd just be mad that Sasha took her spot, won the belt that she thought that she should have won, and then gets mad and then starts healing on her.
She goes in, heel Bailey.
Yeah, heel Bailey.
I thought he meant like a healing Bailey. Like an H-E-A-L.
Oh.
Some of us don't know how to spell heel and heel, including our president. Yeah, because I'm going to go with the heel, healing Bailey.
Okay, that's good, too.
So, like,
well, I mean, it's the healing power of hugs.
Yeah. No, I think she gets in the ring, like, she defies the doctor's wishes and gets in there, and she just tells people, don't touch my shoulder. Don't touch it. Stop it. Don't touch my face.
Oh, so she's not healing people?
Oh, you meant that. Like, she's healing people.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, that'd be good, too. No, it'd be like, didn't John Travolta in that Phenomenon movie?
Yeah.
Didn't he have?
Well, he had powers.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was necessarily healing powers. I've never seen the movie.
What movie is it when somebody goes like this and then it glows? Oh, that's an episode of Next Generation.
Yeah.
How did I get that confused with Phenomenon, a John Travolta movie?
I don't know.
I don't know either, man. What a mess I am.
Yeah.
Anyways, my stomach's starting to grumble.
Me too. I'm going to eat a lot of chili today to counteract my illness.
I get all these emails from schools.
Oh, my goodness. Is this the point in the show where Steve vents?
Introduce myself. Back to school night. I got to go to that now? It's too much going on, man. Anyways, do we have anything to add before we go?
I don't think
so. Any other wrestling? Oh,
I'll be honest. It's a little foggy up here right now for our old Larson because I took some NyQuil last night and I woke up all drowsy.
That sentence was the most old-timey sentence ever. Let's talk about Jeff Jarrett for a little bit.
Oh, do we have to?
So he was at Triple Mania. Let's talk about Triple Mania for a bit. Here's the thing about AAA, all right? I love it so far.
How was the Johnny Mundo match?
Great.
I want to check that out.
What did he say? God, some of the commentary was hilarious because the disregard for like the wrestler's safety is a tad much because one of those guys, I think it was El Hijo de Fantasma, which means son of the ghost, masked wrestler, and his mask got busted open when he got busted open bad. Like it wasn't Jordan Devlin bad, but it was like everywhere.
Was it Steve Corino bad?
Oh, it was up there with Steve Corino. He's like one of the best bleeders in the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. He was a bloody mess. I forget who he was. It was a triple threat. I forget the guy he was fighting. But that was that guy was bleeding pretty profusely. Not wow. Johnny Mundo. So Jeff Jarrett comes down. So they have their own like New Japan Rumble.
Yeah, but it's all trios, right?
Was that what it was?
Yeah, that's why I read that. It's all trio tag teams, but every man for themselves.
Yeah. I was a bit confused because Moose, Jeff Jarrett, and Lashley were all in there.
Yeah.
But then at one point, Moose and Lashley were fighting each other. At one point, they were teaming with each other. At some point, they started fighting each other.
Yeah, I read about it, and that was my understanding, is that it was...
Jeff Jarrett comes down with a bunch of tortillas, and he starts slinging them out to the audience. I'll admit, dude, I was laughing. It's so... Because it's so stupid... And, I mean, I'm not going to say it's offensive necessarily. I mean, obviously it's in bad taste, but the word offensive is thrown around so often these days for stuff that it's like, it's just silly.
And I thought I read this is the second time he's done this.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I thought I read.
When did he do it before?
Maybe the last time he was at Triple Mania.
And here's the thing that I like about it. I mean, because he was full on Jarrett heel. Just laughing. He's all old and leathery and you know, his guts all hanging out these days. He looks great for his age.
He just turned 50.
Yeah, exactly. He just turned 50. That's right. But it like him and La Parca had a face off and La Parca got the better of him and ended up pinning him. And so I thought to myself, you know what? That's the one situation with Jeff Jarrett that I would be okay with him coming back to GFW is if he fought La Parca in a grudge match. I'd be totally in it. You'd have to watch that, right?
Yeah, I would have to watch that.
You'd watch that.
I used to love La Parca.
Absolutely. Yeah, La Parca's great.
I'm trying to find where else Jeff Jarrett showed up at Triple Mania.
Oh, okay. So I don't know. It was fun. Like some of this, like the Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Psycho Clown. They've got, I mean, the cool thing is you step into it and you're watching it. And the scope of where they were fighting, you know, like just the size of the place was very impressive. They have the six-sided ring.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of goofy.
So he's actually showed up at quite a few Triple Manias, 19, 20,
oh, wow, look at that.
21.
Yeah.
And yes, those are the Triple Manias he showed up at. He's been at several other AAA shows. So.
At 19, he became the new mega champion. Wow, good for him. But it was cool. You know what I liked about it was that the design aspect of things was fantastic. Like some of those characters that they have, all like the various clown characters, murder clown, psycho clown, different clowns. They were all really terrifying and cool looking.
Yeah, yeah. All the designs of the characters were fantastic.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I didn't know dick about the storylines or anything like that. But it was cool. It was cool to see that. It was cool to see, like, my friendos in GFW.
Mm-hmm.
I consider them my friendos now.
Okay.
I want them to do good.
No, I want them to do well,
but
too.
Again, Moose came down. Nice. Didn't do this.
Oh, he didn't?
He didn't.
Oh.
He did not do this, nor did he do this.
Although that's
a
bummer.
I did notice in the last episode of GFW, there was a video package they did about their house show tour.
Yeah.
And, like, including the baseball stadium one. He came down the baseball stadium one. air guitaring a baseball bat. That was cool.
Moose is great.
I love Moose, man. He's great. And his theme song is very catchy.
Is it Tony Nese levels of catchy? Oh, you hesitate.
I hesitate. I love Tony Nese's theme song, though. You know that. But, yeah, no, it was fun. I was actually, I thought I would just have it on the background, but I was, like, really slow in cleaning my office because I was paying more attention to the show than I thought I would.
Yeah, I was going to hopefully try to watch it Saturday. I just had too much stuff going on, so
yeah.
And I'm going to try to catch up to it this week.
Congratulations to them and Twitch. They had
That was huge.
I think they had, like, 75,000 people
concurrence,
watching.
Yeah,
concurrence, which is huge.
Yeah, that's massive. That's really awesome.
So, pretty neat. Pretty awesome. So, anyways, that's it for the show.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to get some lunch.
Yes.
And so, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you so much for the super chats. We really appreciate it. Till next time, talk to you guys later.
Bye.